From Albuquerque this week, I'm Joey Peters.
I'm Matthew Reichbach.
It's the Weekly Word.
We're here to talk about same-sex marriage today.
We'll have our guest today will be KUNM's Elaine Baumgartel.
She hosts Morning Edition every weekday.
And the Weekly Call-In Show.
It's on Thursdays at 8 a.m. We're going to talk about lawsuits that are going on regarding same-sex marriage.
And plenty of developments nationally and statewide all have implications here in New Mexico.
And then you should also go ahead and stick around after the interview. We have a little bonus clip for you with the Santa Fe Reporter's old friend, Pat Rogers.
Should be a good one.
And we'll be right back after this break, and we'll have Elaine Bumper.
So we're back with KUNM Call-In Show and Morning Edition host, Elaine Baumgartel. Elaine, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for inviting me.
And we're going to talk about all the recent movement in same-sex marriage, I guess the politics of same-sex marriage, over the past few weeks here in New Mexico. But really, this kind of started in 2004 in Sandoval County. Elaine, can you tell us what happened?
Well, my understanding on that story is that the county clerk at the time, whose name unfortunately is escaping me, she announced that she would be willing to give same-sex marriage licenses to same-sex couples, and so there was this buzz in the LGBT community, and folks ran out to her office and got marriage licenses. I spoke to a couple who got married with that license as part of the KUNM Voices Behind the Vote series. They were talking about their support of same-sex marriage, and there were a bunch of couples who did get married, but within that same day, I believe there was only a period of hours during which those marriage licenses were
8 hours.
Yeah, it was something like 8 hours that those marriage licenses were actually active and valid. And so there were people who didn't get married during those hours. And then the Attorney General's office, Patricia Madrid, issued an opinion saying that the Sandoval County clerk had to stop issuing the marriage licenses and invalidating all of the marriages that had been performed. I think that particular invalidation of the marriages was later overturned in state court.
Yeah, so now they were kind of living in some sort of limbo because I think some of them got divorced or tried to get divorced and trying to figure out what's going on after. And, of course, Patricia Madrid saying that they had to invalidate those, that didn't have to do with the merits of the law on same-sex marriage, but because the marriage form itself has a spot for male and female.
Well, so what I have been exploring in coverage, we did a call-in show on this topic a couple of weeks ago, and it turns out that New Mexico state law kind of has this I can neither confirm nor deny kind of FBI attitude towards same-sex marriage, in the sense that the law does not, we do not have a Defense of Marriage Act in New Mexico, so same-sex marriage is not expressly prohibited under state law. It's also not expressly allowed.
And the marriage statute itself is gender neutral. And
my understanding, yeah.
And the way I heard this happen was the New Mexico's Equal Rights Amendment striking down gender in lots of laws. Also, I think it's worth noting, they call them the Sandoval 64. One of them is Santa Fe's own district attorney, Spence Pacheco.
I actually did not know that. but so going into Santa Fe, I know that Joey's report on this, I think that Elaine has as well, about there's a movement there where the Santa Fe city attorney basically said that, hey, same-sex marriage is legal in New Mexico because it doesn't specifically say it's not. And then there's the equal rights law, as Joey mentioned before, that that says, hey, everybody has to be equal. So that means that same-sex marriage is legal in New Mexico. And I think, Joey, you reported on that.
Yeah, and I mean, in Gino Zamora, the city attorney, cited the same kind of the same logic, I guess, that this county clerk at Sandoval did which was the Constitution is gender neutral. He also, though, as one of his major points, looked at Attorney General Gary King's he had a legal opinion of his own in 2011, basically saying all marriages from all other states are recognized, which would include states where same-sex marriage is legal, like Iowa or Massachusetts. Or mm-hmm. wherever else. I think there's 13 of them or so.
And Elaine, did you cover this?
On that Colin show, the Santa Fe City Attorney, Gino Zamora, joined us by phone briefly to talk about his memo. We also had a representative from the ACLU. I think we're going to talk about that in a minute. And we had a pastor from a local church
who was opposed to same-sex marriage,
had gone up to the legislature to speak in opposition on legislation that was presented during this recent session that would have, again, cleared up the ambiguity in the law and clarifying that same-sex marriage is allowed, expressly saying same-sex marriage is allowed under New Mexico state law. And he went up to Santa Fe and spoke against that piece of legislation. So
two pieces of legislation.
Yeah, there were a couple pieces, and there was I think there may have also been some DOMA legislation also, right, that didn't make it very far.
Yeah.
So the
and just real quick touching on that, there was legislation that basically would put a constitutional amendment to the voters, one that said same-sex marriage is legal in New Mexico and good, the other one that says same-sex marriage is illegal in New Mexico, it's only between a man and a woman. And one thing that LGBT activists don't like about that is they're saying, hey, you're putting our civil rights up to a vote. So that's, I think, that we're going to talk about in a little bit, is why they prefer the legal route.
Well, that's kind of what was exposed really kind of explicitly during the show that I hosted, is that the supporters of same-sex marriage are really coming from a civil rights perspective and saying that marriage is a contract under state and federal law, and that to prohibit marriage between two people because of their gender is discriminatory. And then you have opponents who are saying marriage is not just an agreement under law. It also has history in culture, and it's also related to religion and value systems. And folks who say, you know what, that's not what I believe, at least what some folks say marriage is, that marriage should only be between a man and a woman. So there are these two worldviews that are clashing in a sense, one worldview being a civil rights worldview, and another worldview having a more of a deeper history in a religious and a value perspective.
So have you looked at where, you know, New Mexico in this kind of ambiguous, it's kind of ambiguous what the LGBT, you know, T married people, what their rights actually are.
For the Sandoval 64, you mean?
Like, well, for anybody. The article I did, I interviewed a two male couple that married in Iowa where it's legal, and they did that partially based on the Attorney General's ruling. But at home, you know, when they came back here, one of them was telling me he still had to go through an attorney and spend thousands of dollars to go through, you know, legal documents so that he could see his spouse's medical records and make a decision in case his spouse was in some sort of, some accident happened and he wasn't able to do it himself.
It's messy, I think, is the thing. It's really messy.
Right. And so one thing that this particular couple I talked to is doing this year is they're filing their taxes jointly, which that's another thing. It's unclear. I don't, you know, the Attorney General's rule or his opinion that said that we recognize same-sex marriage in other states is it doesn't have anything that's legally binding to it, and it's never been tested. And I don't know if it's going to be this particular couple or not, but they are kind of testing that by filing their taxes jointly.
Well, and that kind of makes me think about what the Santa Fe city officials have done. They've said, here's our reading of New Mexico state law. But whether that means that all the county clerks around the state are going to act based on the city of Santa Fe's opinion, most of the county clerks and the Association of County Clerks representative Daniel Ivysoto has said they're waiting for either lawmakers to either one, prohibit same-sex marriage, or two, make it expressly legal, clear up the state law ambiguity. But then the point that you bring up, where we have this opinion from the AG now that out-of-state same-sex marriages are
recognized
in New Mexico, but that question of what does that mean actually on the ground is going to be for those couples to find out as they go and try to access their rights as married couples based on their marriages from other states, when you have institutions in New Mexico who are probably not read, you know, how do you...
It's a mess, basically.
It's a mess. It's total. Who's going to say, who's going to be like, oh, yeah, of course, we do recognize that. We're going to treat you like a married couple. It's very messy.
So there's a couple efforts to unravel this mess, to untie everything. One is we kind of briefly touched on it before, the ACLU and Equality New Mexico. They had two same-sex couples go into the Bernalillo County clerk and request marriage certificates. And they denied them because of the attorney general's ruling from, you know, the Sandoval 64 from mm-hmm. that era, where the form itself says it has a man and a woman.
And that's what you were talking about earlier, about how the statute, which describes the form that people fill out when they're applying for a marriage license, has a place that says male and female on it. So it's not the law about marriage itself that is gender specific. It's the statute that describes the form that you must fill out. And so I think that is why the couples who went just recently to the Bernalillo County clerk to get married were denied, because of the form itself. I know that Rita Daniels and Tristan Ottone at KUNM did a little reporting on that. They went down with one of those couples, and that was exactly what the clerk representative had said, was, I have this form and I have to follow this form, and until I have another form, I can't award you a marriage license.
I think one thing that's interesting to note, getting back to the Sandoval 64, was that Patsy Madrid was the one, the former attorney general, that made that opinion saying,
stop,
you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
That Gina Zamora made this point, that is the same, has the same legal weight as Gary King's legal opinions.
Exactly.
It has no legal weight, and it's still a murky area. As far as, you know, Santa Fe, the county clerk up there, Geraldine Salazar, she has said she would not issue same-sex marriage licenses or licenses to same-sex couples because the law is ambiguous. Not necessarily that the law prevents her.
Or not because of the form, necessarily?
The form might play a role, but she basically said her reading of the law does not... You know, she's not convinced that she can come out and do that right
away. I can
away.
Neither confirm nor deny, is what the law says. I'm going to keep going back to it. It's like, it is. It's the FBI. We will neither confirm nor deny the right of same-sex couples to marry. That's basically the voice of New Mexico state law on this issue.
Yeah, I mean, she's basically saying the law is not clear to allow me to do this, so I'm not, until I get either a ruling from the court or from the legislature, And by the way, and same with the Bernalillo County clerk here, they both personally support same-sex marriage.
And one thing that they're saying is, you know, we're county clerks, we're not legislators, we're not the courts, we can't interpret the law.
Right, we're just enforcing it.
Yeah, they have to follow the letter of the law, and if it's ambiguous, like they said, then they have to go by the forms and by the statute. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's going to be one of the things that the courts are going to have to determine, the appeals court, and then of course it's going to go to the state Supreme Court.
Well, and let me just add that part of the reason why we saw this confluence of events between the ACLU and folks going to Bernalillo County to get marriage licenses and being turned down, and that lawsuit being filed, and you also saw the city the city officials in Santa Fe issuing their opinion because the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, just a couple weeks ago was hearing arguments on those two big same-sex marriage cases on Prop 8 and on the Defense of Marriage Act. So I think that in a sense, it's like New Mexico folks were taking advantage of the national focus on this issue to kind of stake their claim on a side.
Yeah, it's a good way to get a lot of free media attention because you're looking for stories to
local
write about.
Local versions of a national story.
Always popular things.
Yeah.
And, but like what I was saying is, you know, it's going to go to the state Supreme Court at some point. But what they said at the press conference, ACLU and the Equality New Mexico, their press conference was it's going to take 2 to 3 years to work its way through the system. And I mean, it wouldn't matter at all if the federal Supreme Court rules, but they're working their way towards it. And this is all in the backdrop of same-sex marriage slowly becoming a majority figure in a majority mm-hmm. position.
Well, and that's what we've heard in coverage of the U.S. Supreme Court hearings. The Proposition 8 case, which of course comes out of California, the indications so far have been that the Supreme Court justices are not planning to issue a ruling that would be applicable across the country. It sounds like they may issue a ruling that is specific to California. And so that would mean that the ruling in that particular case wouldn't have any impact on what's going on in New Mexico necessarily, not legally, in the sense of that it would just be a response to the case about Proposition 8 in California. The DOMA case, I think, might have a more wide-reaching impact if the Defense of Marriage Act is overturned.
Well, if they strike that down, I mean, I know, like, the couple I talked to up in Santa Fe, another thing they're doing is filing their federal taxes jointly. And federal law says right now that that's not allowed. They're doing it on the basis that their interpretation of DOMA is it's unconstitutional. If DOMA is struck down, they probably would be able to do that. Another thing, though, I mean, Matt, you had mentioned that, you know, this case in New Mexico would take up to 2 years. And
well, actually, up to 3 years.
Up to 3 years. And, you know, you talked about how a lot of the county clerks are saying that they don't interpret laws. And one thing, the Doniana County clerk, via Representative Bill McCamley, asked the Attorney General Gary King for his opinion on this, if they're allowed to give marriage license to same-sex couples or not. And that's something that's not going to have legal weight, but it might, you know, it seems like if they get something in the affirmative, the Doniana County clerk might actually start issuing these out.
Yeah, and I think we can expect that Gary King would say that he supports same-sex marriage. He filed an amicus brief in the federal Supreme Court on behalf of same-sex marriage being legal. So, but it's not up to him. Like he's the one that prosecutes and everything, but he doesn't decide what the law means.
Yeah.
The only people that can do that is the state Supreme Court.
Right.
And that's where this is going. It's just
eventually
it's going to take its time working its way through the system.
Yeah. I thought of one other little wrinkle, and that is that Governor Martinez recently vetoed a bill that was passed this year that would have extended a benefit to the same-sex partners of military couples in New Mexico that she had already extended to heterosexual couples. I think it had to do with, like, expediting professional licenses.
Yeah.
So if military folks are stationed here in New Mexico, they come and they bring their spouse can get their professional license expedited in order to get settled in New Mexico faster. That is my understanding but that she vetoed a bill that would have extended that benefit to same-sex couples.
My point was that
the Gary King angle comes in because he's running for governor.
Well, the reason that her office gave for doing that is because it referenced domestic partners that were able to do it. It wasn't explicit enough,
right?
Yeah, and it didn't define what domestic partners meant.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she does have a point there, but that was one that was, I believe that was pocket. That was a pocket veto,
mm-hmm.
which means that there's no veto message, which means we don't get to
there's
hear
no
what
explanation.
She. Yeah, there's no explanation. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to State Senator Jacob Candelaria, and he—that's one of the things he said he might end up doing is looking at how to make it so that pocket vetoes aren't. There has to be a message on those as well, some sort of thing. But that's a little
bit
of
field.
But
isn't that the power of the pocket veto, is being able to just not sign something and not be held responsible for not signing it?
Well, I mean, I think we're getting a little bit off of the same-sex marriage topic. But that'll be it. We'll have you on the podcast when we discuss
that. You can chalk it up to my first podcast.
And, yeah, but so...
Who were the... Do you know who were the legislators that sponsored that bill that was vetoed? Was it...
Brian Egoff was a same-sex marriage bill, right?
No, the military.
Oh, the.
I believe it was. I don't know. I don't want to say. I don't want to say something wrong here, but they did. It did pass like pretty unanimous, like almost unanimously. I believe there was like only a handful. They could override it if they wanted to when they came back, but I don't think the Republicans would go along with an override.
Jacob make any points to you about the definition of domestic partnerships?
Well, we weren't talking about the same-sex marriage thing. We were just talking about the pocket vetoes. So I think we're getting a little bit astray. But to bring it back to the same-sex marriage. To bring it back to the same-sex marriage thing, I think that what we've learned today is that it's messy. We don't know. I mean, we don't really know where everything stands. It's ambiguous. Like, what was your phrase that you...
If you think of New Mexico state law as having a voice, it's kind of like the FBI saying we can neither confirm nor deny, in that there's federal law that denies same-sex marriages, the Defense of Marriage Act, and then there are some states that allow same-sex marriage, and then New Mexico recognizes marriages from those states, but what that means on the ground is yet to be determined here in New Mexico... Again, neither confirms nor denies, and that does make it kind of a thorny place.
Yeah, and the legislature obviously can't, you know, they're not going to be able to do anything about it anytime soon on this type of issue. So I think it is going to be through the courts, either at the state or the federal level, that we get an answer, we get a confirmation or a denial.
Because it has been nearly a decade since the Sandoval 64 happened. And there has been no legislative resolution of the ambiguity.
Yeah. Well, Elaine, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me lead you astray briefly and then pulling me back.
And that's Elaine Baumgartel from KUNM. She does the call-in show on Thursday mornings. What is it, 8 a.m.?
8 a.m.
And she does Morning Edition. I'm Matthew Reichbach with New Mexico Telegram, nmtelegram.com. I also freelance for Albuquerque Business First and The Reporter.
And I'm Joey Peters at the Santa Fe Reporter, sfreporter.com. And join us next week.
We have a bonus clip here with old friend of the Santa Fe Reporter, Pat Rogers. And I think, Joey, you can quickly explain what this is.
Well, so Pat Rogers, of course, is the power attorney and also the GOP national committeeman here in New Mexico. And about last summer, we received about 100 or so of his leaked emails to high-profile governor officials. And he wasn't so happy. A lot of those emails were perhaps embarrassing. He wasn't so happy with us about that. About a month ago, he sent myself and Justin Horwath, the other reporter at SFR, an email basically asking us if we had recorded interviews with Michael Corwin, who was the political operative that released and leaked Pat Rogers' emails to us. And it seemed like he's preparing for some sort of a lawsuit, and he might try, if we have recordings or not of Corwin, he might try to get them in court. Anyway, Justin Horwath last week, or a few days ago, called him up to discuss Pat Rogers' email, and he recorded the conversation, and here's what happened.
This is Pat.
Yeah, hey Pat, this is Justin at the Santa Fe Reporter. How you doing?
Good.
I believe we were set to talk about that email that you'd sent, it was like a month ago? And you'd said you wanted to talk about them?
Yeah, you jerks included a publication of an attorney-client privileged portion of my email to a client, and for God knows what reason decided that you had to publish a portion of the email that has nothing to do with me or any political figures and can only be used to embarrass a young woman. Are you reading your own articles?
What specific email are you referencing?
You dumb fuck. Did you look at that last publication where you word for word put down my email to Keith Gardner? You know what you included in there? Why don't you read that and call me back?
So, right after that phone call, Justin Horwath called Pat Rogers back up because we did not know what email Pat was talking about. We published about 100 of them last December. And then I guess Pat couldn't find or specify the email either. Anyway, Justin eventually asked him if he's preparing for a lawsuit. Pat said, yes. A lawsuit against whom? Well, we don't know yet. Check it out, sfreporter.com. Justin wrote a blog post about this.
And then now we can say thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week, and maybe we'll have another update on the Pat Rogers saga.
We hope so.